This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. All praise is due to Allah, and may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him and upon all of the prophets and all of the messengers sent by God, sent by Allah Azza wa Jal, to enlighten and to guide all of mankind. Ameen. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today, inshaAllah ta'ala's topic is entitled The Importance or Optional Prayers and Related Manners or Related Matters. Optional Prayers and Related Matters. So today, inshaAllah ta'ala, we are going to talk about the prayers that we refer to as the sunnah prayers. In Islam, as you know, when it comes to prayer, there is the fard prayer, which is also known as wajib. But generally speaking, we refer to the five daily prayers as our fard, obligatory prayers. They are mandated, they are compulsory, they have fixed times. Then we have another set of prayers that are called the nawafil, or the sunnah prayers. Now, with regards to the sunnah prayers, they are either mu'akkadah or ghayru mu'akkadah. So they are either stressed upon, whereby the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he consistently prayed them, or they are ghayr mu'akkadah, they are tatawwu', they are optional, whereby the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has recommended them through one hadith or another. Now, generally speaking, the prayers that are associated to Fajr, to Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, and Isha, those related prayers are referred to as Rawatib, which is the plural of Ratibah. Ratibah. So the Rawatib of the Salawat. And we have, as we're going to hear in a moment, hadiths that talk about the merit and the virtue of these salawat, these prayers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without a doubt, the most beloved acts of worship to him are which acts? Are the obligatory actions. So first and foremost, we must ensure that we are fulfilling our obligatory prayers, that we are fulfilling them in the manner in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants us to fulfill them. As he said, صَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي. Pray as you have seen me praying. And we must perform them on time, on the prescribed time. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. That the salat has been prescribed upon the believers at fixed times. And in the hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says that nothing is more beloved to him than that which he has made obligatory upon the son of Adam. And then he said that a person continues to draw near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala how? Through the nawafil. Through the optional acts of worship. So today that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the opportunity to draw nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the optional prayers. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, which also not only serve as a means of drawing nearer to Allah azza wa jal, but as a means for compensating for any shortcomings that we have in our fard or in our obligatory account. Any shortfall there is made up through the sunnah acts of worship, and that is through our sunnah mu'akkadah or the ghayr mu'akkadah, sunan mu'akkadah and sunan ar-rawatib. So we begin inshallah ta'ala. Imam an-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala has dedicated in the Book of Virtues, Babu or Kitab al-Fada'il, the kitab the Book of Virtues, he has dedicated a number of chapters regarding to this. The first chapter, he entitles it, The Excellence of Optional Prayers, along with the Obligatory Prayers. Now the first hadith is the hadith that is found in Sahih Muslim, hadith Ummu Habiba radiyallahu anha, who is Ummu Habiba is one of the mothers of the believers. In other words, one of the wives of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ummu Habiba radiyallahu anha wa ardaha. She heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, a house, a mansion. He said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a house or a mansion will be built in Jannah for every Muslim who offers 12 rak'ah of optional salat other than the obligatory salat in a day and night. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا مِنْ عَبْدٍ مُسْلِمٍ يُصَلِّي لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى كُلَّ يَوْمٍ ثِنْتَيْ عَشَرَةَ رَكْعَةٍ تَطَوُّعًا غَيْرَ الْفَرِيضَةِ إِلَّا بَنَى اللَّهُ لَهُ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. So whenever you pray 12 units in the day and night, what is he referring to here? He is referring to the 2 units of sunnah before Fajr, the 4 units of sunnah before Dhuhr, the 2 units of sunnah after the Faridah of Dhuhr, the 2 units of sunnah after Maghrib, and the 2 units of sunnah after Isha. If you do your maths, that will come to a total of 12 units. Those 12 units, if you maintain them and you are consistent in performing them, through them Allah Azza wa Jal will build for you a mansion in Jannah. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to build for us and to decree for us yani mansions, and to give us the energy and all that it takes and the zeal for us to be performing these sunan, of which are known as, these are known as the rawatib. The rawatib. The Prophet ﷺ, he would not miss them out, except if he was traveling, he would only pray the 2 units of sunnah that come before the Fajr prayer. The others, he never prayed. The other prayers, he never prayed. And we'll talk about witr later on. He did pray the witr. He continued to pray his night prayers, even though it was, even though he was a musafir or a traveler. Another hadith that I want to bring to your attention that Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala included, because we don't have time to include all of the hadiths, I've handpicked a number of hadiths that are related to this chapter. Abdullah ibn Mughaffal radiyallahu anhu, he states that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in the hadith found in Bukhari and Muslim, that bayna kulli adhanayni salah, بين كل أذانين صلاة بين كل أذانين صلاة. And then he said في الثالثة قال في الثالثة لمن شاء. He said that there is a salat between every adhan and iqama, between every adhan with the muadhin, the caller to pray, gives the adhan, and the iqama of the salah, between this period you can pray 2 units of prayer. He said this thrice, he said this 3 times, that between every adhan and every iqamah, you can pray 2 units of prayer for the one who wishes. So by the mere fact that Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is saying liman sha', it means for the one who wishes. Therefore, is it obligatory? No, it's not obligatory. It's not obligatory. Even though he said it 3 times, the very fact that he said liman sha', for the one who wishes. So there is a sunnah that I guess a lot of people may be unaware of, and that is the sunnah of 2 units of prayer between adhan and between the iqamah. We move on inshallah ta'ala. Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, he has another chapter. And this chapter, it's called, he entitled it, The Emphasis on Offering 2 rak'at sunnah before the Fajr prayer. So as I said earlier, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he never missed the sunnah of the Fajr prayer and emphasized prayer. And so here we have hadith Aisha radiallahu anha wa ardaha, originally found in Sahih Bukhari, that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he never omitted 4 rak'at before the Dhuhr prayer and 2 rak'at before the Fajr prayer. So he never left out 4 units of prayer before Dhuhr in this hadith, and the 2 units before the Fajr prayer. So he used to offer these 2 prayers regularly, and as I said earlier, this would be referred to as a sunnah mu'akkadah. Now, we come to the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha also, that is found in Bukhari and Muslim, that she said, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not attach more importance to any nawafil, to any optional prayer, than the 2 rak'ah of prayer before the dawn prayer, before Fajr. Now, with regards to Fajr prayer, some communities, some cultures, they refer to this prayer as subuh. So if you say Fajr to them, they may not understand what you are referring to, because they know it as subuh or subuh. Okay? Prayer. So Salatul Fajr, in any case, both subh and Fajr have been mentioned. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in the Quran, وَالصُبْحِ إِذَا تَنَفَّسْ وَالْفَجْرِ وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ. So both names have been mentioned in the Quran. Both are correct. But the one that is more regularly mentioned is Salatul Fajri. Salatul Fajr. The dawn prayer at the break of dawn. The next hadith is hadith Aisha also, radiallahu anha wa ardaha. And this hadith is found in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet ﷺ said, the 2 rak'ah before the Fajr prayer are better than this world and all it contains. Allahu Akbar. Look at the merit. He said, alayhi salatu wassalam, rak'ata al-fajri khayrun min ad-dunya wa ma fiha. That these 2 units before Fajr are better than all of what the dunya contains and what is in it. Okay? Also, Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullahu ta'ala, he actually dedicated in this next chapter, a whole chapter entitled referring back to the sunnah prayer of Fajr, briefness to be adopted in offering the 2 rak'ah sunnah before the Fajr prayer, their time and the surah to recite in them. Subhanallah, a whole chapter dedicated to these 2 units of prayer and their briefness. Yani, subhanallah, this prayer is so important of all the sunnah prayers. Yet despite its importance, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did them very quickly. He prayed these 2 units very quickly. So in the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, that is found in Bukhari and Muslim, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she said, used to offer 2 rak'ah, short prayer, between the adhan and the iqama of the dawn. And she also said that he used to offer the 2 supererogatory rak'ah prayer of Fajr and make them so short in duration that I used to think whether he had recited Al-Fatiha or not. So she would doubt, she would think, subhanallah, the Prophet ﷺ, he prayed them so quickly that she thought maybe he didn't even recite Al-Fatiha. That's how quickly he prayed them. But of course he did. And we learn that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he recited Al-Fatiha, and in the first rak'ah, he would, after Al-Fatiha, he would recite Surah, which surah? After Al-Fatiha, he would recite Surah Al-Kafirun. Surah Al-Kafirun, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ, to the end of the surah. And in the second rak'ah, after Al-Fatiha, what would he recite? Surah Al-Ikhlas, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. This is the sunnah. Nice and easy. Okay? So, this is something to keep in mind. And we have the hadith that is found in Sahih Muslim, hadith Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu wa ardah, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited in the 2 qara'a fi raq'atay al-fajr, the 2 sunnah of Fajr, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ وَقُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ وَقُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. 2 chapters which are to do with absolute monotheism, absolute tawheed. You see, what happened, the disbelievers, At the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the worshippers of the idols, they came to him when they were disappointed with the fact that he's not, that his people, or that the people of that time are no longer worshipping the idols introduced to them by their forefathers. And they said to him, look, how about we come to an agreement? How about we come to an agreement that you worship our idols for 1 year, and we will worship your Lord. We will worship Allah for 1 whole year. How about this compromise? And so Allah Azza wa Jal revealed to the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at that very time a surah, a short surah found in Juz' Amma, to be recited until the Day of Judgment, whereby there is absolutely no compromise when it comes to the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal and singling Him out alone, ascribing and associating no partners to Him. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ, say, O you who have disbelieved, لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ, I do not worship what you worship. لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَبِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدُ, and you will not worship what I am worshipping. وَلَا أَنَا عَبِدٌ مَا عَبَدْتُمْ وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَبِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدُ لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينَ. At the end, Allah says, to you is your religion, and to mine, and to me is mine, my religion. So there is to be no compromise when it comes to the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. And قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ, say, Allah is one, He's absolute. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ, اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ. اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ, meaning that all of the creation is dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He depends on none, on no one, on nothing. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ, أَحَدٌ is one. اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ, لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ, okay, He does not beget, He was not begotten. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ, and nothing resembles Allah Azza wa Jal. Nothing is like Allah Azza wa Jal. He is perfect. To Him belongs the most beautiful names and attributes. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, nothing is like unto Allah. He is the all-hearing, He is the all-seeing, He is the all-knowing. He is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu la ilaha illa hu, Allah. There is no ilah, no God, no deity that deserves to be worshipped except Allah, except He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of the heavens, the creator of the earth, and the creator of all that is between them, and all and everything that exists. Alhamdulillah, once again, for the ni'mah and for the blessing of the deen of Islam. Alhamdulillah for tawheed, for monotheism. Alhamdulillah for Islam that warns us of shirk, that warns us of polytheism, of associating partners to the Almighty, to Allah Azza wa Jal. So these are two chapters that we recite in the Fajr prayer, Subuh prayer, okay, Sunnah prayers, before the two Sunnah prayer that comes before the Fajr. Now, we move on now to the Sunnah of Dhuhr prayer, the Sunnah of Dhuhr prayer. And here we have a number of narrations. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, or radiallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with him, and with his father Umar ibn al-Khattab, he said, I offered along with Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, two rak'at before and after Dhuhr prayers. Two rak'ah before and after Dhuhr prayer. In another narration, the narration of Aisha radiallahu anha wardaha, that is found in Sahih Bukhari, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he never omitted four rak'at, supererogatory prayer, before the Dhuhr prayer. So again, you have the choice to pray either two or four. Four is more complete and more in line with the consistency of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and him praying these four prayers before the four that are fard or that are obligatory. In the hadith that is found in Sunan Abi Dawood, Abu Dawood and At-Tirmidhi, hadith Ummu Habib radiallahu anha, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whoever observes the practice of offering four rak'at before Dhuhr prayer, and four rak'at after Dhuhr prayer, listen to the reward, Allah will shield him against the fire. Allah will shield him. So again, by adhering to four before dhuhr, four after dhuhr, so including your four of fard, you've prayed a total of 12 rak'at right there and then, that will act as your shield, as your barrier, a barrier, a shield between you and between the hellfire, wal'iyadhu billah. Let's move on to the Asr prayer. Now, the sunnah of the Asr prayer is غَيْرُ مُؤَكَّدَةً. It's not stressed upon like the sunan of the other prayers, such as the sunnah of Fajr and Dhuhr and Maghrib and Isha. And we have the hadith that is found in Sunan Abi Dawood and Sunan al-Tirmidhi, hadith Ibn Umar, radiyallahu anhuma, Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, may Allah, he said, رَحِمَ اللَّهُ امْرَأً صَلَّى قَبْلَ الْعَصْرِ أَرْبَعًا. He said, may Allah have mercy on a man who offers four rak'ah before the Asr prayer. So when you pray Asr prayer, or before praying your fard of Asr prayer, praying four, you are inshallah ta'ala going to be receiving the rahmah and the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal by praying these four. However, bear in mind that these four units of prayer are not within the 12 units that we spoke about earlier, which entitle you to a mansion in Jannah, insha'Allah ta'ala. Sunnah of the Maghrib prayer. Maghrib prayer, the prayer that we pray at sunset. We have the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mughaffal, radiallahu anhu, Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, صَلُّوا قَبْلَ الْمَغْرِبِ قَالَ فِي الثَّالِثَ لِمَنْ شَاءَ. He said it three times. He said, offer two rak'ah before the Maghrib prayer. Offer two rak'ah before the Maghrib prayer. And he said this three times and he repeated it. And after the third time, he added, he who may wish. So in other words, again, you may pray before Maghrib prayer, two rak'ah, if you wish. And this is something which is a sunnah. Also, we have the sunnah prayer, of course, offering two rak'ah, okay, after Salatul al-Maghrib. After Salatul al-Maghrib, the sunnah is to pray two units of prayer. The next sunnah that I want to talk about is the sunnah of the Isha prayer. And here we have a hadith, and that is hadith Ibn Umar has narrated that he offered two rak'at after the fard prayer of Isha with Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Abdullah ibn Mughaffal has narrated that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said there is a salat between every takbir and the adhan. So again, there is two units of prayer that you pray after Salatul Isha. Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala has another chapter. It is called Bab Sunnatul Jumu'ah. What is the sunnah when it comes to Jumu'ah prayer? Now, Jumu'ah prayer is not Dhuhr prayer. So when we refer to the Salat that is prayed in the masjid during Jumu'ah, during the Friday prayer, we don't refer to this as Salatul Dhuhri. We say this is Salatul al-Jumu'ah. Okay? For those who are praying at home, such as women, for example, who have not attended the masjid, they don't pray two units, they pray four. They pray Dhuhr. And they can only pray those four units of prayer after the commencement time of Dhuhr prayer. And they cannot pray if, for example, they have an Islamic channel that is broadcasting live the Salatul Jumu'ah. You know, you might see the Haram of Mecca or Medina or the Haram of Palestine, Masjid al-Aqsa, or any other masjid. Or they can hear on the radio, you know, live prayer, and they just want to pray with the imam. Can they do so? No, they cannot do so. You cannot simply follow the prayer from the television or from the radio. You actually have to be there. You have to be on that site, at that venue, at that masjid. So here we have a number of hadiths. Hadith Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, or radiallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with them both. He said, I offered along with Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 2 rak'ah after the Jumu'ah prayer. So when it comes to Yawmul Jumu'ah and you come to the Friday prayer, if you come to the masjid and you sit down, you can pray as many lots of 2 units as you desire. There's no specific number of units. And there is no specific sunnah with regards to the Jumu'ah prayer or when you come to the masjid. Okay? In another hadith Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu wa arda, that is found in Sahih Muslim, if any one of you offers the Friday prayer, he should offer 4 rak'at sunnah after it. So you have the option to pray 2 or 4 after. Another hadith Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not offer any salat in the mosque after the Friday prayer till he had turned to his house. He would then offer 2 rak'at there. How do we consolidate between the 2 narrations? If you are praying your sunnah prayer in the masjid, it would be more complete to pray 4 units, 2 and 2. If you are going to go home and perform your sunnah, then just pray 2 sunnah, sunnatul jumu'ah, when you go home. So this is how the ulama have consolidated between these narrations. We move on to the next chapter. Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullahu ta'ala has included the desirability of offering nawafil prayers at home. So the sunnah is to pray your sunnah at home, whether it's your nawafil, your sunnah, which is mu'akkada, which is stressed upon. The sunnah is to pray it at home. Hadith Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, O people, offer your salat in your homes, meaning your voluntary salat, because the best salat of a man is the one he offers at home, except the obligatory salat. The best salat home is the optional salat. This is the sunnah. So if you want to pray in the masjid, fajr, you pray your 2 sunnah of fajr at home. Then you come to the masjid and pray with the imam, the fard. Likewise, so on and so forth with regards to the rest of your prayers. Narrated Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, as we read in Bukhari and Muslim, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you should observe part of the salat, meaning part of the nawafil, in your homes. Do not turn your homes into graves or into graveyards. Okay? So what this means, it teaches us 2 things, 2 important lessons. The first lesson is that your houses should have a portion of your salah. There needs to be the dhikrullah, the remembrance of Allah in your homes. Don't turn them into graveyards, because we know that you are not allowed to perform prayers in graveyards. It is prohibited to perform salat in the graveyard except for the salatul janazah. You are allowed to perform the funeral prayer. If you haven't performed salatul janazah on a deceased person because you came late to the funeral procession, then you are allowed to perform that salat right there and then. As for your other salawat, as for your other prayers, they should not be prayed in the graveyard. So do not turn your homes into graveyards. In other words, places where prayer is not performed. So it's very, very important that we pray our sunnah prayers at home. Barakallahu fikum. Another hadith Jabir radiallahu anhu wa arda, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that when you have finished your fard salah, in the masjid, in the mosque, you should observe some of your salat at home. Allah will bless your homes because of your salat. In other words, because of your salat in your homes. So again, if you want the barakah, you want for there to be blessing in your home, then make sure there is a good portion of your salat that is performed in your home. Barakallahu fikum. Now sometimes you see some Muslims when they pray in the masjid, or they pray at home, or they pray somewhere, You see them after Salatul Fard. After Salatul Fard, what do? They move from one place to another place. Or they swap positions with the person next to them. Or they make sure they speak before performing their sunnah prayer. The ba'diyah. The sunnah prayer that comes after the fard prayer. What is the basis of this? We have a hadith. The hadith is found in Sahih Muslim. It's the hadith of Umar ibn Ata. Umar ibn Ata. That Nafi' ibn Jubair, he sent him to Sa'ib ibn Ukht Namir to ask him about some things that Muawiyah had seen him doing in Salat. He said, yes, I offered the Friday prayer along with him in the enclosure, in the Maqsura. There's an area in the masjid. This was an enclosure, Al-Maqsura is an enclosure in the masjid, or a place which was made for the security of the rulers. For the security of the rulers. So when the Muslim Khalifas, the Khulafa al-Rashidun, used to offer their prayers in congregation, they would occupy this place. In any case, he says here that I offered the Friday prayer along with him in the enclosure, in the Maqsura, and when the Imam concluded the Salat with the Taslim, I stood up in my place and offered the Sunnah prayer. When Muawiyah went home, he sent for me, and when I came, he said, never do again what you have done. When you have observed the Friday prayer, you must not start another Sunnah prayer till you have spoken to someone or have shifted your place. Because Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ordered us not to follow up the congregational salah with any other salah until we have talked, in other words, talked to someone or moved from that place. So Muawiyah, he saw this action from someone, and then he gave him instructions. He said to him, look, we learn from the sunnah, and although this happened on the Friday prayer, this was a specific incident, but the specificness of this incident does not limit the sunnah to this time. The sunnah is in general. Because he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you have finished a congregational prayer, when you have finished a salatul jama'ah, don't go straight into the sunnah prayer without having spoken or moved from your position. Why? It shows now that there is a clear distinction between the fard and the sunnah. Otherwise, if you stand up straight away and say, Allahu Akbar, it is as if you've added another unit to that prayer. So we want to make that very clear distinction between the fard and between the sunnah prayer. So this is why you will see many people, they swap positions. And likewise, by swapping positions, you are allowing for that place of the earth or that ground to be a witness for you, inshallah ta'ala, on the Day of Judgment. That you prayed in this position and that position, inshallah ta'ala. The next prayer is witr prayer. Witr prayer, Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, he has included a chapter, dedicated a chapter. He calls it Babu al-Hathi ala Salat al-Witri wa bayan annahu sunnatun mu'akkada wa bayan waqtu. Witr prayer, its time and its ruling. Now, the word witr means odd. There is a hadith, inna allaha witrun yuhibbul witr. Allah is witr. Allah is one. And He loves witr. And that's why you will find in Islam many acts of worship are done in an odd number, whether it be five pillars of Islam, whether we perform tawaf or we circulate the Kaaba seven times, we walk between Safa and Marwa seven times, whether it be saying things three times, okay? Witr is a number that is favored by Allah. Odd in Islam, the odd number is favored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, Here we have the hadith of Ali ibn Abu Talib radiallahu anhu wa arda, that is originally found in Sunan al-Tirmidhi and Sunan Abi Dawood. Here he said the witr prayer is not obligatory as the prescribed prayers, but Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam observed it as his regular practice. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وِتْرٌ يُحِبُّ الْوِتْرِ فَأَوْتِرُوا يَا أَهْلَ الْقُرْآنِ. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, Allah is witr, meaning single or odd in number, and loves what is witr. So offer witr prayer, O followers of the Qur'an. O followers of the Qur'an, offer the witr prayer. Now we find, for example, that the Hanafi school of thought, they look at this prayer and they deem it as being wajib, as one of the obligatory prayers, meaning that if you miss it out, you are sinful. However, the more correct position, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, is that salatul witri is one of the sunnah that is mu'akkada, that is stressed upon. So some of the ulama, they would not take the witness, they would not allow the witness of a person who was complacent with regards to his witr prayer, or did not offer the witr prayer because of its importance. So salatul witr is the last prayer of the night. And it could be in an odd number, whether you pray one, whether you pray 3, 5, 7, 9, but at most it's 11. So it is a sunnah mu'akkada. We have another hadith Aisha radiallahu anha. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he observed the witr prayer in every part of the night, at the beginning, in the middle, and at the last part of the night. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, however, would finish his witr prayer before the fajr, before dawn. So it's earliest time that you can pray. The earliest time of salatul witr is directly after Isha. So you pray your Isha prayer, you pray your two sunnah prayer, then you can pray and offer your witr prayer. That's the earliest time. You're allowed to pray in the middle of the night. But the best time to pray it, as we read in other hadiths, is the latter or the third part of the night. This is the best time to pray your salatul witr. In the hadith that is narrated by Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, اجعلوا آخر صلاتكم بالليل وترا. He said, make witr prayer the last of your prayer at night. So this is with regards to the times of offering the witr prayer. In another hadith Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu wa arda, that is found in Sahih Muslim, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَوْتِرُوا قَبْلَ أَن تُصْبِحُوا. أَوْتِرُوا قَبْلَ أَن تُصْبِحُوا, that means offer your witr prayer before the fajr, before the dawn prayer. Another hadith Aisha radiallahu anha, she says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to offer his voluntary prayer at night, in other words, his qiyam or his tahajjud, while she was sleeping in front of him. And when the witr prayer was yet to be preserved, he would awaken her to offer her witr prayer. So Aisha radiallahu anha, because they had a very small room, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hujra of Aisha, the room of Aisha was a small room. So sometimes when she would be sleeping in front of him, he'd have to tap her to move her legs to allow for him to perform his sujood, his prostration. So in this hadith we learn that if someone is sleeping before a worshipper, his salat will not go wrong, that it's permissible to pray with someone sleeping in front of us. So if somebody is there in front of you and you are performing your salah, so for example, that can be your sutra, that can be your barrier, they could be in front of you, they're not moving, they're just still, and they're in front of you, there is no harm in praying in front of them, because you're not praying to them, they're just acting as your sutra or your barrier, or they're just sitting there. There's no harm in that at all. We learn this in this hadith. And we also learn that it is desirable to awaken your family members for optional prayers, for nawafil, to wake them up for the optional prayers. And we learn that you offer, that one can offer the witr prayer before the Fajr prayer, just before the Fajr prayer. You can delay it. Hadith Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu wa arda, the Prophet, he said, the Prophet, he said, Badiru subha bil witr. He said, hasten to offer the witr prayer before dawn. And the hadith is found in Abu Dawood and Sunan al-Tirmidhi. Also, we have hadith Jabir radiallahu anhu, Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, he who apprehends that he may not get up in the latter part of the night should observe the witr prayer in the first part of it. And he who is certain to get up in the last part of it, he should observe the witr at the end of the night, because salat at the end of the night is attended by the malaika, the angels, and that is better. And the hadith is found in Sahih Muslim. So it is best to perform and delay your witr prayer to the third part, to the latter part of the night, okay, especially with the presence of the malaika, the angels. For those who are in regular habit of performing the witr prayer consistently, and let's say, for example, you slept through and you forgot, or you slept through the night and you were not able to get up for the witr prayer, then you can pray it as qada. You can pray it as a make-up prayer, as a missed prayer the next morning or the next day. But in doing so, we learn from the sunnah in the hadith that is found in Sahih Muslim, that instead of praying it, that instead of praying it in an odd number, you would pray it in an even number. So for example, if you normally pray three, and by the way, three is better than praying one and more complete. If you normally pray three and you want to make up the witr prayer of last night, the following day you pray four. You pray four. You pray it in an even number. Because it is only witr because of the fact that it is the last prayer of the night. And the last prayer of the night is done in an odd number. Is done in an odd number. Likewise, the last prayer of the day is which prayer? Is the Maghrib prayer. And the Maghrib prayer is the Fard. The Fard of Maghrib prayer is how many units? It's three. So we find that the last prayer of the day is three of the Fard prayers. It's an odd number. And the last prayer of the night is an odd number, being the Witr prayer. The question arises, are you allowed to perform? Are you allowed to perform any prayers after you have prayed the witr prayer? There is difference of opinion amongst the ulama whether you are allowed to pray a sunnah prayer after witr or not. The correct opinion is that you are allowed sometimes to pray a sunnah prayer after salatul witr. Okay? There is a hadith whereby the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find instances where the Prophet ﷺ, he offered two rak'at of sunnah prayer or nawafil in the sitting position after the witr prayer. So therefore, this goes to show that just because you've prayed your witr prayer, it doesn't mean you can't pray sunnah prayer. It doesn't mean if you happen to get up at night and you want to pray extra, you can pray extra. Some people think that, no, khalas, that's it. I have prayed my witr prayer, therefore I cannot pray any prayer because I've prayed my witr prayer. The correct opinion, and as I said, with all due respect to the ulama, there is a difference of opinion, but we do have a narration that states that this is the case, that you may pray two units of prayer after the Salatul Witr. But there is to be no two witrs in one night. La witrani fi layla means that if you have prayed witr once, and you prayed again, you don't have to pray. You don't have to pray witr again. That's it. You've prayed your witr the first time. Let's come to Ramadan. In Ramadan, when you pray your taraweeh with the imam, some people, they pray with the imam, and the sunnah is to pray with the imam until he has finished. Because if you pray with the imam until he has finished, it will be recorded for you as if you have prayed the entire night with the imam. Or it will be recorded for you as if you have prayed the entire night in terms of reward and virtue for that night. So now the imam, you pray with him witr, and you want to continue. So he's prayed, for example, eight. He's prayed his three witr. Now you want to pray more during the night. You want to get up in the third part of the night and pray more. What you can do in this case is you stand up. When the Imam says Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah to the right, then you can then stand up, not say your taslim, and pray one more rak'ah to make that last unit, make it an even number. Now, your last prayer was even. So then you can add in lots of twos, and then when you have finished your night prayers, pray one rak'ah as witr, and that's it. You have now prayed your witr prayer only once, and instead of having prayed it twice. So these are a few points related to the witr prayer. Yes, the sunnah is to recite after al-Fatiha, if you're praying the witr prayer, the sunnah is to recite al-Fatiha, and then سَبِّحِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى Surah Al-A'la after the Fatiha of the first rak'ah, and in the second rak'ah قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ, and in the third rak'ah قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَد, and in one narration قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَد الْفَلَقْ and النَّاس, all in one rak'ah. But that is sunnah. It's not a must for the witr prayer to be accepted. Also with regards to the witr prayer, the sunnah is to pray it, if you're praying at three, for example, is to pray two units, say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah to the right and to the left, then stand up, say Allahu Akbar and pray one rak'ah, and do your tahiyyat, and do your Dawood Sharif or your Ibrahimiyyah, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad, say Assalamu alaikum to your right, say Assalamu alaikum to your left. That's one way of praying witr prayer. The other way of praying witr prayer is to pray three units without sitting for the first tashahud, or without sitting in the middle of the two of the three units. So you pray right through to the very end with only one tashahud, only one tahiyyat and one Ibrahimiyya or Darud, and saying Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, and then saying Assalamu alaikum to your right, then saying Assalamu alaikum to your left. That is the sunnah with regards to the witr prayer. There is also a dua, dua al-qunut. Dua al-Qunut is a dua that you say when you get up from the third unit, from the ruku' of the third unit, from saying Subhana Rabbil Azim, and you come back up and you say Allahumma hadina fi man hadayt wa'afina fi man aafayt wa tawallana fi man tawallayt, etc., etc. The dua al-Qunut, you can look it up, and you can do it either before you go into the ruku' position or after the ruku' position. Okay, there is flexibility with regards to this. So these are some matters that are related to Salatul Witr. Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullahu ta'ala, he has also included Salatul Duha, as, and he says the merit of the optional or the Duha prayer. Now Duha prayer is a prayer that one prays between Fajr prayer, okay, and between Dhuhr prayer. So there is a hadith, a beautiful hadith, hadith Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu arda, that is found in Bukhari and Muslim. He says, أوصاني خليلي صلى الله عليه وسلم بصيام ثلاثة أيام من كل شهر وركعتي الضحى وأن أوتر قبل أن أرقد. He said that my khalil, your khalil is your best friend. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Ibrahim alayhi salam, he says, وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا, Allah took Ibrahim as a very close friend. My khalil, Allah's messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, directed me to fast 3 days of every month. Who's saying this? Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. He said, my best friend, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he instructed me to fast 3 days in every month, meaning the 13th and the 14th and the 15th of every lunar month. And he said, the 3 days of each month, and to observe two rak'at of duha at forenoon, that's two rak'at of the duha prayer, and to offer the witr prayer before going to bed. Three things, okay? Three things that we should safeguard, and that is to fast 3 days of every month, known as the white days, Ayyamul Bid, because the moon is a full moon on the 13th and the 14th and the 15th of every lunar month. Okay? The sky is illuminated with the whiteness of the light of the moon. And then he said about the duha prayer, and he spoke about the witr prayer. There is another hadith. Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to offer the four rak'ah of duha prayer at the forenoon and would add to them whatever Allah wished. So when it comes to the number of rak'ah, there can be two, there can be four, there can be, we have narrations up to eight. In another hadith, we have Ummu Hani, the daughter of Abu Talib radiallahu anha, saying, I went to Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of the conquest of Mecca, and he was taking a bath at that time. When he finished the bath, he offered eight rak'at of optional prayer, and this was during the duha. Now, there is difference of opinion regarding Salatul Ishraq or Salatul Shuruq and Salatul Duha. Some ulama have said that the two units that you pray after the sun has risen, so you know there's a sunnah that you pray. Let's say, for example, you prayed your fajr in the masjid and you sat there remembering Allah, reciting Quran, words of adhkar until the sun has risen. And you waited about 15 minutes until the sun is at least a spear's length above the horizon. And then you perform two rak'at. Some scholars, they refer to these two rak'at as being so the Salat of Sunrise, Salatul Ishraq. Some say this is Salatul Duha, because it's the forenoon. So they say these two units are referring to the same prayer. But when we look at and analyze the Sunnah closely, we see that there are two prayers. One, for having prayed directly after the sun has risen, based on the hadith, whereby the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said that whoever prays Fajr in Jama'ah, in congregation, and he sits in his place where he prayed, and he remembers Allah until the sun rises, and then he prays two units of prayer, it's as if he has performed Hajj and Umrah, complete, complete, complete. Tamma, tamma, tamma. Another hadith, okay, that has been included in the chapter, the time for the duha prayer, is the hadith of Zayd ibn Arqam radiallahu anhu wa arda. I saw some people offering duha in the early forenoon and warned them, saying, these people must know that offering salat a little later is better. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, salatul awwabina hina tarmadu al-fisal. He said, the prayer, the salat of repentance, those who repent, the salat of those who are repenting, is to be observed when the young ones of camels feel the heat of the sun. In other words, when it becomes very hot. So the very fact that he's recommending to pray duha prayer when the ground is very hot, that goes to show that there are two prayers. There is a prayer of salatul duha, and there is a prayer called salatul ishraq. That's what supports this argument, that there's a recommendation to pray Salatul Duha at the latter time. Another sunnah that is important is Tahiyyatul Masjid. Tahiyyatul Masjid, Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullahu ta'ala, he has a chapter, the inducement to offer Tahiyyatul Masjid. So when you enter the masjid, you should greet. You should offer the greeting. How do you offer the greeting? By ensuring that you have prayed at least two units of prayer before sitting. Whether they be the fard prayer that you pray with the imam, whether they be the sunnah prayer, the ratiba that you pray, for example, you're going to pray your fajr sunnah prayer in the masjid, or at least pray an optional or a voluntary two units of prayer, tatawwu', okay? Before sitting. So the sunnah is not just to enter the masjid and to sit down. That's incorrect. You've gone against the sunnah. The sunnah is, once you've entered the masjid, that you pray two units of prayer before you sit, okay, and then you sit down and wait for the imam, or if there's no prayer, you can go on with your business. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in the hadith found in Bukhari and Muslim, إِذَا دَخَلَ أَحَدُكُمْ الْمَسْجِدِ فَلَا يَجْلِسْ حَتَّى يُصَلِّ رَكْعَتَيْنِ, that when any of you enters the masjid, he should offer two rak'at before sitting. And the hadith is found in Bukhari and Muslim. Also, we have the hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhu. I came to Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam when he was in the masjid, and he said to me, offer two rak'at of prayer. Salli rak'atain. So again, this is sunnah mu'akkada. It is stressed upon. It is important to pray this prayer. However, in saying that, it is not fard. It is not wajib. It is not a compulsory prayer. Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullahu ta'ala, he has a chapter entitled The Excellence of Offering Two Rak'at of Voluntary Prayer After Ablution. So there is a sunnah which is known as sunnatul wudu. So that after you perform wudu, you can pray. It's legislated to pray two rak'at, two prayers of sunnah. And the hadith that he includes is the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu wa arda, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said to Bilal radiallahu anhu wa arda, tell me about the most hopeful act. In other words, one which you deem the most rewarding with Allah you have done since your acceptance of Islam. Because I heard the sound of the steps of your shoes in front of me in Jannah. So Bilal ibn Rabah, the Mu'adhin of the Prophet ﷺ, the Prophet ﷺ, he heard his footsteps in Jannah. So therefore he will be in Jannah. And the Prophet ﷺ, he wants to know, what is it that you are doing that entitles you, or that has entitled you for Jannah? And he said, I do not consider any act more hopeful than that whenever I make wudu, or I took a bath. So anytime he made wudu, or he had ghusl, or took ghusl, he made ghusl, in an hour of night or day, I would immediately offer salat for as long as was destined for me to offer. So the sunnah is also, if you can, to pray two rak'at of sunnah after salat, after the performance of wudu, which is known as rak'ata or rak'atayn al-wudu, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.